Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Monday edition of Birds 365, an overreaction Monday. Birds fall to 2-2 going into their bye week. Joined now by Chris Franklin of NJ.com. Chris, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this overreaction Monday? Tough loss yesterday for the Birds.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, my stomach is settled. I don't know if it's something bad or is I still trying to get over watching that game yesterday. That was just bad.
That was a rough one. Yeah, 24-0. I think it was 255 total yards to zero at one point, Chris Franklin. That is tough to do from the Eagles. Before you jumped on, we were talking about Saquon touches. Surprisingly, we haven't gotten to it. They tried to get the ball to Saquon early. First of all, the first mistake was winning the coin toss and deferring. Jody tapped it, Jody. But anyway, so they're down 7-0. The first pass, first play of the game was a pass. Now, I don't know who it was designed to go to, but that was the pass that everybody thought Saquon was open and Jalen Hurts had the terrible throw. Now, since I've seen the all 22, it really wasn't open. It was late, so it wasn't. That seemed like a TV thing. Really wasn't that open. Either way, they tried to get him the football in the first play. Second play was a run to Saquon. Third was a pass to Goddard on 3rd and 10, I believe. So you can't run it there. And you're down 7-0, as I said. So they're 3 and out. Then they're down 14-0 because Tampa goes down and scores. First play is a pass to Goddard. All right, maybe it should have been a run to Saquon. Second play is a run to Saquon. Nothing. 3rd and 7. Hurts sack. Obviously, 3rd and 7, you're not going to run it. Then you're down 21-0. When you get it back again, first pass is it's a pass. Then it's a pass to Saquon. Then it's 3rd and 10, another incomplete pass. I mean, your doubts, they literally could not sustain a drive, and they tried to get him the football, and they were down 21-0. And at that point, well, what the hell can you do? At that point, you got to try to get back in the game.
Yeah, one thing I thought as well, too, is it's the same problems that they had last year that they're starting to creep up again, and at least that game. It was either predictable when they used to run the inside zone or they like to throw the ball. They love to throw the ball on first down.
Yeah.
And I get that, but you can't, if you, in a game like that where you know it's hot, your defense is getting gas, you needed to give them a break. So even if it was an off tackle run for like 3 yards, but you run behind Dickerson and Mailata or what have you, so you stay away from Vita Vea. Because I would say you don't want to run right into Vita Vea because good luck. You need a bulldozer, you need a boulder to try to push them out there. You really just ran out off tackle or try to do something else like that. Given Saquon's ability to break tackles, why not? And just try to sustain it that way. Like, just keep the runner there, keep your defense at least fresher earlier on in that game.
Yeah, it was maybe you have a Chip Kelly vibe, very Chip Kelly vibe without the tempo. And ironically, tempo is the only thing that helped them get them going. But yeah, they were 3 and out. But that's the thing about, look, you look at it and say, all right, 10 for 84. Why didn't you give him the football 30 times? And hey, if it started like a normal game, maybe he would have gotten it 30 times and they weren't down 21-0. But, you know, the 59-yard run, that's what Saquon is. So it's like 1 yard, 2 yards, 1 yard, 2 yards, bang, 59. Like, I can't. They tried to get him the football. They couldn't get a first down to sustain it. And then he would have run it again and hopefully get going. But they were so inept with everything early, including the runs to Saquon Barkley. You're already down 21-0. at that point, it becomes a different game and he becomes less relevant. And then you're screwed because you don't have any receivers. Start better.
I'd arguably say, like, yesterday when you're heading to the game with all those receivers you had, I'd argue, including tight ends, I'd argue he's your second best receiver on there. So why not try to scheme him a little bit? If you're going to use the passing game as much as you did, why not use him in a slot? Why not try to use that? As much as this team loves to use bubble screens and blitzing, why not try to find a way to get that, to use him early on at least anyway? Because they're pretty much like, as much as we've heard many times, they're extended handoff, Well, I'm not getting to the extended handoff for the guy who's on your running back who can catch the ball and try to run the outside.
I hate that I'm defending the Eagles, but I have to defend the Eagles. So there's nine plays, right? And those first three drives, and four were to Saquon. I mean,
you were limited with what you had, because we all saw what happened with the Dotson trade. I think some of that's utilization, but we also get out of him right now.
Yeah.
You're looking at what you're getting right now, Paris Campbell.
Oh, it should have been 9 out of 9. Maybe it should have been 9 out of 9. But I'm saying, all I'm trying to say is that I think it wasn't as bad as people think. And they tried to get him the ball, and then it was 24-0. On the fourth drive, by the way, then when they were down 24-0, he touched it a bunch because they actually got a first down. I think he had 4 or 5 touches. So they tried, but nothing was working, including that. And once you're down 24-0, I mean, at that point, let's be honest, it's extended garbage time. And there was one little sliver of hope, and that came after Saquon's 59-yard run, which set up the touchdown early in the third quarter, Chris. And that made it a 24-14 game. And you said, all right, man, if they get a 3-and-out here, then all of a sudden everything shifts to Tampa Bay. They're like, oh, we're going to blow this big lead. Maybe you can get back in the game. And that defense can't get off the field. I mean, they can't get off the field. Big Fangio, the god of defense. Where is the defense, Chris Franklin?
I'm still trying to find. Maybe they left it back in New Orleans. I don't know. That's just that the way that they
defense the game, is supposed to travel.
He was finding somebody to travel, but team teacher tackling too. That made a traveling tackle coach. My goodness, yeah. Like that's as much as you hear. You've seen this down here. Right? We see all the tackling circuits. We see all this stuff there. Maybe this is where it's got to the point now where you start to reevaluate. Do you need to change the personnel that you have in there on first and second down? Because these guys can't do it. And you look at it the way that that first wave, at first you saw a couple guys over pursue a gap. You're like, oh, great, I see that. And then you can't even wrap up in it as well. It starts with personnel a little bit. The guys you brought in, because this team can't tackle. It's an up down. It's gotten to the point now. I feel like this defense, you have to win a shootout. You need a shootout. And when you lose your top two wide receivers and you don't have the offensive firepower you normally have, it's almost like Doc Rivers said, you got to schedule a loss because you know the offense can't keep up, and the defense, you know, can't stop anybody. They had that one thing. I wonder when we look back at the rest of the season when it's all over, that New Orleans game was like just fool's gold, where you're like, okay. This guy, they can really do something, but you can't get pressure from the defensive line. So it exposes all your secondary, and now you got they're getting picked apart, and they're getting really frustrated back and forth. It's just you just wait for it to, like a thing of dominoes to just keep falling down that way. This is,
I like this.
36-year-old BJ, Chris, is the best defensive lineman on this team because he shows up every week. You don't have to wake up one morning and say, oh, which version of Jalen Carter am I going to get today? You know BG is going to show up. He's the best guy on the defensive line right now through 4 weeks. 36 years old.
The only person I probably excuse for your performance is Jalen Carter. Because the Buccaneers are like, you know what? We're not getting beat by this. Like, so he got double teamed. They made sure to pay extra attention to him. This is where you start to look at Jordan Davis.
He knew it was coming, too. He knew it was coming.
This is where you start to look at Jordan Davis. One-on-one. You're the strong guy. You're the athletic guy.
Right, you're supposed to beat everybody one-on-one.
Yeah, you're supposed to be drawing the double teams as well, too. That's the thing. You're supposed to be drawing, making these teams in the middle decide which one to block is helpful. The other ones should be getting free, and it's not happening. You know, it's and the other ones, like Whew, sorry. This one, I'm looking at this one, like a little fluttering it. It's a lot of times this defense is, you're starting to wonder, I'm at the point where, like, you know, the scheme is just done.
It's done. Finally. God, I wake up. Finally, everybody's caught up to me. This scheme is passe.
Because everybody is copying it. At first, everybody just basically copy and pasting what Vandy was doing. Yep. And wasn't that way? And you wanted to see some changes over time. Like, you think the guy who invented it, he knows some changes that he can make to the scheme because everybody, their mom's doing it. Everybody sees it for so long. Let's see the changes.
Yeah.
Well, you not only got seeing changes, like you've seen the same things happen in the other stops, but now the one thing that you really banked on where you're sitting in the run thing, the system is too reliant on safeties trying to help in tackle. And then when you have your safeties having issues coming up and making tackles and giving them up extra yards, this is a recipe for disaster right now. I know it's going week four, and I was saying, sorry, it's week four. Who knows? Maybe they have they look into themselves, the old retrospective. We're looking into ourselves. We'll see if we come back better.
Yeah, but the bye week, early self scout. Hopefully it comes up with something. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned New Orleans, Chris. That's like a styles make bites things. Because of the way New Orleans plays, I think everybody's scared that they look at the numbers, but they didn't look at the way the Saints play. 12 personnel, play action, max protection. And that enabled the Eagles to play their 5 and 6-man fronts, even the 6-man front. And they're good when they can do that. But when they're in that 4-man front and nickel, they're brutal. Brutal.
This is what you get when you don't have, besides Brandon Graham, and you saw Josh Sweat pop up. When you don't have a consistent pass rush, this is where you start to get picked apart. At least with the 5, you can get a guy like Milton Williams. You can give you get a little bit better. You get 1-on-1, and you hopefully get one of these guys breaks through from the front. Most of the time, we see it come from the interior, where you see Bond roll up, and then you have something there. Now you're relying on Huff, who I thought he should have had. I thought he was going to get a sack. He came real close to the third. He's probably going to do this around. Mm-hmm. And he got pushed in. It's like, oh, great, here we go. It's got to the point where you look at it like, well, you know, the quarterback's going to have 4 or 5 seconds to throw now, unless you blitz. And then, you know, if you blitz, you got all that space back there. You can't do that with a lot of veteran quarterbacks. You're going to just go bam, 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 pick you apart. So there's not much out there in terms of, well, there's one big name out there, but you're going to trade, you're basically admitting you're right or wrong by trading them to the Jets, Hassan Reddick. So it's not much you can really do on the outside. You're pretty much stuck with this. Let's maybe get Jalen Hunt some more snaps and just say, you know what, at this point, let's just see what he can do.
Yeah.
I don't think Jalen is ready for the physicality of NFL offensive tackles.
No.
You know, could it be worse? Maybe not. You know, I saw an interesting note from Doug Berar, and I don't know where he got the stat, but I'm going to throw it out there because Doug's good, and I'm sure it's correct. The Eagles have played less press coverage than any other NFL team. 88% of the time, they're not in press, which is by far number one in the NFL. And Doug's assessment of that was, I don't know how you play modern defense like that. I kind of agree with them. We know Quinion played a lot of off coverage at Toledo, was very good at it, eyes on the quarterback, but he's athletic enough to handle press. You're supposed to develop these players. Slay's been one of the best press corners in the NFL for years. They never play press. What are we doing here, Chris?
Old school mentality and defense coordinator with staying away from the press. Because that off coverage is a staple of the scheme. Because he wants to give everybody, those corners, the ability to stay off, look back into seeing what's developed in front of them and moving that way. And the press thing, you need to disrupt the timing. Because if you're not, score knows, I just hate to go back to this, if your pass rush is not getting there, you need to disrupt the timing, at least so the quarterback has to think a little bit more. Maybe one of those guys break through. And this is one of the adjustments. Maybe this is what happens when they start doing that self-scout and they're saying, hey, you know what? When each coordinator looks at each other and say, hey, this is what I would do to your defense, what I would do, this is what's working, that should be one of the first changes they make. I think we know, we've seen the way that Quinion Mitchell, he has the ability to recover. If he gets beat at the line, he's shown great recovery speed.
He really does.
And if you have these safeties deep, they should be able to cover the overcover and help him out. So that's an easy, quick switch to make, and you don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on there. That or and also made, I think you had the point where you had to have the discussion now, where's Cooper DeJean if he's supposed to be this guy that's supposed to be really good? I know he had to ramp up back at this point, but now.
Yeah, he should be out there. Yeah. By this point.
It's.
And CJ, at the risk of, you know, angering CJ and getting blocked, he has not played well. CJ Gardner-Johnson. The secondary looks like.
CJ Gardner-Johnson to this point is all bark and no bite. Just reality. He barks a lot and he doesn't do anything on the field. He gets beat every game. We're four games deep, he's gotten beat every game.
That was a good formation. I'll say this. The way that Tampa Bay singled him up on that outside and that bunch, it's like they knew what was going on.
The flag route by Evans. I mean, yes. And CJ's looking for the flag. Dude, that ain't pushing off. He just beat you clean.
That was really good in terms of that. Like,
but that's a great player. I mean,
yeah, that's goodness. A tremendous. I almost don't even want to pick on CJ for that because Mike Evans is tough.
Yeah, but that's a bad matchup. But that's a good job by Liam Cohen. Yeah,
that's a point where I'm looking at. Do you switch the responsibilities of him and Reed? Where Reed's the more to freeze, CJ's more in a box. Do you try to switch that up in order to get him to start to flow it a little bit better, so he's not more responsible in some of those run fits? He's got to the point. That's another tweak you got to start thinking about as well too.
Yeah,
have him go down there so that way he's not going in there. But it's rough. Like, I still think you still need him on his team because,
you know, we go all the way back to year one of Nick Sirianni. Remember, like, they were struggling defensively and everybody was complaining about Gannon and the coverage and the off coverage, and Nick had to say, tighten it up. Here we are again, year four. They play the same damn scheme. No tight coverage. You got to tighten it up. How about changing the scheme? Yeah. How about going off? Now, it's an indictable offense in the NFL to criticize Vic Fangio, and I love the guy, but yeah, I'd like to see a scheme change. So, Jeffrey Lurie, when you do move on, you got to get a new defensive coordinator as well.
Five straight coordinators with this scheme. Are they gonna do it? It's almost like a pipe dream to even believe.
No, they. I don't even want to count. I don't know what Matt Patricia was running.
That was a Patricia offense, and that was just
he's like, okay, throw. Let's blitz here. This is not working this way too. I want to blitz. Like, what was it? Like, oh,
yeah. But he wasn't running that scheme. That was a little, you know. But obviously, Sean Desai was. So
Bill's gonna like what I'm doing here. Let's do this. Oh wait, it didn't happen. Bill, please like me still.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it, but it's the same thing offensively. In a lot of ways, I'm just tired of watching modern football because it's ugly and not aesthetic. And, you know, I can't stand bubble screens. I can't, you know, it's like, boy, I'd like to go back to the days of West Coast offense and variable defense and trying to do some different things. But we are where we are. And I don't know why it went down that tangent. Offensively.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com. This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long.
Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at tanker.com.
Get a little positive. It's going to get better after the bye. I mean, to me, the style points were ugly. But to me, this you mentioned Doc Rivers. That's a great quote, the scheduled loss. This was a scheduled loss when you don't have A.J., Devontae, and Lane. I mean, that the depth on this team is lacking. And maybe that should make some sense because they're so top-heavy. They got big stars that are, and they're paying big money. Shouldn't we expect that to a certain degree?
Yeah, I think when you, especially just looking the way, I think if you had AJ, even if you think if you even had Devontae on that field at that point, it changes because there has to be a lot more. They can't keep all those guys in your line of scrimmage. I don't think they have to blitz a lot more because you have to worry about, you know, Jalen Hurts going to go to Devontae Smith and Smith could get that route and gets all that way. It may get some separation as well, too, as opposed to some of the other guys that were on the field there. And so I think when everything comes back, I'm not as concerned about the offense. I think it's more of a personnel thing right now. There are some things I want to see a little bit changed a little bit better. Yeah. Do I want to see Dallas Goedert utilized more when both of those guys come back? Yeah. I think it just makes you tougher to defend when everybody knows you can't go toward the outside. And I think it also makes you know, you got good things going with Saquon as well, too. So I'm not worried about the offense as much as it is. It's just a lot of pressure that's going to be placed on them. Knowing that, well, I am worried about turtles and Jalen Hurts.
Turtles
and Jalen Hurts, it really does mess with you in terms of that as well, too. But that's a lot of pressure you're putting on one side of the ball. Say, hey, you know what? You got to carry this whole entire thing because if not, it's a loss. You're at the point now you need them to put 27 up a game if not.
Yeah, and evidently it's not Jalen Hurts that needs to do the carrying. It's A.J. Brown because when he goes out, it's like a new football team. That we watch, you know, that's where I want to go next. You already brought him up is Jalen Hurts. We have a poll going in the chat right now, over 400 votes, and it's completely split perfectly even at 50-50 on in or out on Jalen Hurts. The fan base is getting fired up, Chris.
One loss without AJ.
I've never seen that. I'm telling you, I've been reading these comments for 4 years. I've never seen this much anger around the quarterback. They think they were sold the bill of good. It's, you know, you're paying $50 million for a mediocre guy. Where are you on Jalen Hurts 2-2 going into the bye week? Are you ready to sound the alarms? Can we win with him? Can we ever see the 22 guy again? Where are you, Chris, with Jalen Hurts?
Well, I think I'm going to piss off half of no matter what. I'm going to piss off half the people watching. But either way, I'm still
like politics, man. Yeah, it's the same thing.
But either way, if it was 50%, 60%, I'm still in on him. I think some of the stuff, and I say you look back to last year, and it's still going on. I understand where everybody's getting for that. I really do. I still look at the way there's two schools of thought I'm looking at here. A, I think it's correctable. I think it's one of those things he's starting to get in his head a little bit more. B, I don't know. You start finding a guy. I don't know what have you, but you need it. It sounds simple, but it seems like he doesn't do it because I think it's so ingrained in his way of doing it. Just keep two hands around the ball when you're rolling around the outside. No, if they feel awkward first, just keep two hands around the ball.
Yeah.
I was surprised,
Chris. Nick kind of took that one off Jalen Hurts, and a bunch of other people did as well. And I'm like, what? Because Levante David gets pushed behind you, he's out of the play. I mean, you got to be aware that's a borderline Hall of Fame player.
A guy of that caliber.
You know, he's coming back. I'm surprised how many people looked at that one. And Nick specifically said, that's not on Jalen. I'm like, what do you mean? We used to see that all the time with Carson Wentz, trying to extend the play, forget the guy went past him. He'd come back, he'd knock it out from behind. I mean, yeah, he's got to be better taking care of the football. That said, yeah, I think you have this overreaching, you know, for many years, anytime I criticized Jalen Hurts, I'd get killed. And now it's everybody wants to pull the plug on him for one game where he doesn't have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith.
John, now you're getting killed for telling us it's all good.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's all good. I'm saying he's a very good player.
Yeah,
but there are some flaws. And the biggest flaws are, in my estimation, and we'll hear Chris's, are still not a great anticipatory thrower. He's not going to throw guys open. He's not great with timing routes. That kind of stuff's got to get a little bit better. And I'm a little disappointed that it hasn't gotten better a little quicker. Where are you with that?
Yeah, I think he's got so much stuff as well, too. And then also with those timing routes, anticipatory things, yeah, it's weird because sometimes you see, especially yesterday, I think it really came to a head yesterday. It was really noticeable when you didn't have those guys, when your top guys there. So that was a game you needed him to throw some of those guys open. You needed him to get that window there. It didn't happen. A lot of stuff experienced. I still think it's at this point now. I think he's a year behind where he should be in his development in terms of that one too. Now you can go and say, okay, that's what all the different offensive coordinators going through, like get different things, but whatever happens, whoever this development plan that he was on, his trajectory is on, he's a year behind. And they need to find a way to speed it up. I'm at the point now, like, I don't know what you could do to speed it up. I look at the way that they're supposed to be in terms of like the pocket presence has gotten better. I mean, not the pocket presence, but the in throw from the pocket's got better. Presence has to be there. I don't know if you use
presence, six sacks. I mean, you also have to understand the situation as a quarterback. I remember talking about that with Frank Reich. I mentioned it way back. You know, as a former quarterback, Frank was like, sometimes you got to understand the situation. Sometimes the offensive line's having a bad day. Sometimes whatever. And you got to speed it up and you got to say, all right, we're not here with pass protection. I got to seize it and speed it up and get rid of the football. That might be dumping it off, might be whatever. I think he needs to improve with that as well. But he's still a very good player. That's where I push back the people saying he's still a very good player. That's typically is very difficult to deal with, especially when AJ and Devontae are out there. Difficult to deal with.
You need that bridge as well, too. And then also you start to look at, okay, you say you want to move on, like for 50% of the, hey.
Who are you moving on
to? Oh, we ain't moving on. I told somebody that last night. Okay, I'm ready to move on from Hurts. I'm like, brother, I appreciate it, but we're going to wake up next year. He's going to be your quarterback. Nick might be gone. Howie could be. Anybody could be gone. The one thing that will remain is Jalen Hurts at quarterback.
You want to see Kenny Pickett?
That's the one name I was going to say. Like, you want to put him in there? Okay. Yeah.
Well, they probably want to put Tanner McKee in there because they all think, you don't trust me. You don't want that.
I'd rather see a QB2 competition between that would be just a competition in name, and then you start to worry about like there's not there's not that many, as we've seen right now, there's not that many guaranteed people that you know are going to be good quarterbacks. Look at the draft. Look at this year's draft. All the people say, you know what? Hey, you know what? Caleb Williams is going to be the best guy out there.
Yeah.
I thought Jaden Daniels was going to be the best guy out there.
I'm officially spiking the football on that one. Yes, he is the best by far.
Same here.
So much better than Caleb Williams. So much better.
Never touch USC quarterbacks at all. You can't touch. You can't trust.
No, them. Can't say that. You know why? Sam Darnold.
Sanchez. You go to John David Booty. You can go down the list.
And here's the thing about that, Chris. It was the same thing with Ohio State before CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Ohio State quarterbacks never pan out.
It just took Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold, I said it, I think he can play. Small sample size, but I think he can play. I think he figured it out.
Well, he certainly has got some talent, Sam Darnold, for sure.
Yeah. USC quarterback.
We're living in a bizarre world. Sam Darnold's arguably the best quarterback in the world. The Vikings are throwing our this season's drunk already.
All you got to do is bet ex-Jets quarterbacks on the money line, and you'll be doing well for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Geno and Sam Darnold. Just bet them on the money line.
Chris, thanks for joining today, man. Last thought here on your way out. Overreaction Monday. Am I overreacting to say that this team is not a Super Bowl contender?
At the moment, no. I think the roster, if you look at the names and players of the roster, yeah, it is. At the moment, the way they're playing right now, no. No, you're looking at a playoff.
But there's room to grow.
I think there's a, I think, and I wonder, Does he bring out the flower speech again? I'm not doing that and saying in jest, but I'm not saying in jest. I'm saying, like, do you find a way to tell something or something similar to that, saying,
right,
you have the pieces there. Do you bring out something similar to that? Like, and I know the flower speech gets joked on, but I'm serious in terms of the message that was behind it. There's a lot
flower,
still there.
The flower thing worked.
It worked, yeah, because there's a lot of things.
Players that, loved it.
The flower message has returned. Chris Franklin, I was not expecting to go there on an overreaction Monday, but we are back to the flowers.
It works. It's true. I can really think it's true. You have a lot of good roots there, positionally, at most of those positions. It's a matter of coaching and just making sure they get these guys in better spots. And when that, and that's not a lot.
What do you want? A nice sunflower or a hydrangea? What do you want? What does Chris Franklin want? What do you want blooming?
A productive apple tree.
All right. Well, nice. All right.
Because you may have some things that are rotten.
That thing's
going to
bloom in 4 years, Chris. Are you crazy?
Well, I was going to say, you may have some things that are rotten on that tree and you follow it off. But when you get everything, you find it successful, you get the right pesticides. You get everything safe. It works out.
Tree, by the way. Cherries never grow on it, but they're supposed to. It's pretty young.
My uncle has a cherry tree that actually works, John. The first one I've ever seen that actually makes cherries.
Yeah. I got little buds of cherries this year and then nothing.
Oh, maybe you'll get a couple in the years coming. Johnny Mac.
I was all excited. I'm like, cherry I'm finally going to see a cherry.
Yeah. Johnny Mac is officially adding cherry farmer to the resume. Chris, thanks for joining the show, man. Appreciate your great takes today. Great analogy with the apple tree. I'll be using that one on the show. I'll give you credit for it. Thanks for joining today, man. We'll talk to you again soon. All right, brother.
All right. Thanks. Y'all have a good one now. Thanks.
Yeah, see you, man. Great stuff from Chris Frank. Appreciate him joining the show today. John, just a couple of minutes left here on the show, and I'm going to get to a couple super chats before we do it. But I'm going to stay on, everybody, by the way, for overtime. So I'll let Johnny Mac drop off here at the top of the hour. I'm going to take some comments. I don't want to miss any of our super chats. So thank you guys for all the great support this morning, and I'll stay on with you guys and chop it up for a little bit. Johnny Mac, just your final thoughts, though, man. I mean, it's overreaction Monday. I just asked Jeff and Chris the same question. Am I overreacting that this team is not a Super Bowl contender?
I think there's two questions. I think right now they're not, but I think they can be. And
you still think they can be, right?
They're like right now, the best teams in the NFC are two teams we didn't expect to be the best teams in the NFC. So is anybody really going to sit there and say, oh, Minnesota's going to the Super Bowl? I can't go that route yet. They're playing well. I think they're a good team. We'll see if it holds up. I'm starting to believe more and more in Sam Darnold, but I don't think you look at that team and say, oh, well, the Eagles can't beat them in January if need be, if everybody's healthy. And the same thing with Seattle and Geno Smith. Now, San Francisco played a bad team. They're back on the right track. You're going to get to see Seattle versus Detroit tonight if you want to. Two potential. There's no great team where you say, so can the Eagles be in the mix? Sure. And again, you don't have to be 10-1. You can be 6-4 and get hot and play, start playing your football, best football later in the season. So right now, they're not a Super Bowl contender, but can they grow into one? Yes. They still have the best skill position talent in the NFL when everybody's healthy. That didn't change. Defensively, you hope they get a little bit better. I don't think the ceiling is anymore. But guess what? I thought the ceiling before the season was mid-range. I thought Vic had to get them from 25, 26, whatever they were, to 15, 16. Can they get there? Yeah, they could still get there. They, you know, if they start tackling, that might take care of half the issues.
Really.
But, you know, especially the style of the play, they want to keep people in front of them. Well, if you want to keep people in front of you, you got to tackle when they catch the football. So that would cure a lot of issues. Pass rush probably not going to be there to the level that people want it, but you can persevere and be – all I'm looking for is mid-range, middle of the road. Can they do that? Sure. But yeah, right now, no. Can they grow into it? Yeah. As long as AJ and Devontae and Lane are healthy, yeah, they could be a very good team.
Good stuff today from John McMullen. John, here's and I have one super chat to give you before you get out the door. I'm going to get to every super chat, so thank you all in the chat. Angel, this is where Eagles fans' heads are on this Monday, Johnny Mac. Angel Martinez checks in. He says, who gives a damn about this football team? Mm-hmm. Jay Mac, what do you think of the Mr. McMahon doc?
I watched like two episodes. I haven't gotten through the whole thing. It tough for me. This worst time of year for them to release it.
Yeah. Busy time, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of time. I'll watch it eventually. The first two episodes, I mean, I'm a weirdo, so I knew all these stories. Nothing new to me. Hopefully as it gets later. He's a whack job, though. He is an utter whack job. But Vince McMahon, for those who don't know.
Built a big-ass business, so that's for damn sure.
Yeah, well, great businessman, obviously. But, yeah, he's a weirdo. As most rich people,
I don't
know
much about him. All I know is that the WWE fan base is pretty incredible. I'm not a huge WWE fan. I mean, I'd like listen to you and Jody chop it up a little bit. I mean, I'm some of it interests me, but I don't watch WWE. But
such an interesting, and it's funny because it's so interesting, the industry. Like, I'm more interested in the behind the scenes and the business stuff than the actual product. Because
is the NFL becoming more WWE like to you, John?
No, they're not nearly as interesting behind the scenes. That is an interesting industry. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah,
we should do a podcast.
We should do that. That would be a good idea. We got a bunch of wrestling fans in the chat. You can educate me on more of the WWE. I know you've been a fan for a long time. So, John, great show today, man. Thanks for doing it. Thanks for tempering some of our overreactions on this Monday. I'm not feeling good, Johnny Mac, about this football team, but I thought you brought some great points today. Thanks for doing it, man. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
All right, cheer up. AJ will be back. Devontae will be back. Lane will be back. It will get better. It will get better. John, one thing before I leave, because I did see one comment about the schemes being outdated. A, I'm the first one who said the scheme was outdated defensively, but again, a bunch of you guys thought the problems were the coordinators last year. Now you got different coordinators. Now if you get different coordinators, you're always going to have the same issue. At one point, does that people wake up to that? It's always the coordinators. It's always the coach. It's always the coordinators. It's always the coach. Maybe it's not.
I think it's the damn front office.
Maybe it is. Maybe shift it a little bit. But it's the players. And you'll see it. Because when the good players are out there, magically, the Eagles are good. And then we can nitpick about what's good on a particular game day, what's bad. But when the good players are out there, they're pretty good. And when they're not good. It's not magic. It's not, you know, common sense.
Good stuff, Johnny Mac. Coming soon, a WWE podcast from Jacob Sports. Johnny Mac, good stuff, man. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. All right, brother. Make sure everybody tunes in tomorrow, 8 to 10. We'll do that with John. John, thanks for joining, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. From John.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Marino could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Marino and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.